My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And the 1-2, swing and a miss, and the ball game is over. Suzuki strikes out swinging. Arizona wins game one of this series by a score of 5-2.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen. It is Gabe Ramirez. Beautiful night in the city. It's been beautiful all week, man. You want to know how I know this? Because I washed my car on Sunday. Checked the weather, and it hasn't rained all week. Feeling good about it. Just saying.
You picked a day that before we got this nice weather where it wasn't raining or 100 degrees?
Exactly.
Yep.
And apparently there's some tornado coming over the weekend. Is that right? Cheryl Scott put that out there? Shout out Cheryl Scott. But there was quite the storm that took place here in Chicago this afternoon. The downpours, some would say, of runs by the Arizona Diamondbacks. They beat the Cubs 5-2 today. And we get to chat a little bit about the game. A little bit about the controversies and, you know, just about this team in general. With our next guest, he joins us now on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download that Circus Sports app today. He covers the Cubs for the Marquee Sports Network. Of course, I'm talking about none other than Andy Martinez. Andy, good to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Gabe.
No problem, man. So let's start with Ryan Nelson. I mean, he had himself a day, right? I mean, he's pitching his tail off. I saw that, you know, because I went back and looked, and I thought to myself, all right, he was dealing today. He had a first pitch strike on 18 of the 23 batters that he faced. It's pretty deadly out there.
Yeah, when you start off 0-1 almost every single at bat, you're literally behind the eight ball every time, and it gets difficult for the Cubs hitters. And the you mentioned some of the calls, like that wasn't going the Cubs' way. Either Christopher Morel and Craig Council were pretty open about the calls that were missed or some calls late, whether it was to Morel in the eighth inning where he strikes out looking on a ball that's pretty well down out of the zone. And Morel was pretty frustrated. I mean, he was blatant and said, like, or he's blunt, excuse me, and said that it's frustrating when they don't do a good job, basically. Like, he was frustrated. He was upset. I've never really – Christopher Morel, like, you see him, he's very happy on the field, and he's always saying hi to everyone. Like, that's kind of who he is, even behind the scenes. Like, he's a pretty happy guy, and he's, with me, he's always easy to talk to. Like, that was the first time where I'm like, oh, he's like mad. Like, he was upset about that, and it was just interesting to hear that. And Craig Counsell mentioned there were some calls that were missed, and you know, at the end of the day, though, like that they had 6 at bats and runners in scoring position. Like, the Diamondbacks had 19 chances with runners in scoring position. The Cubs had 6. Like, you had to have create more options, and like those missed calls are frustrating, but 2 runs isn't going to win you a lot of games. Like, they just need to score some more runs, which, you know, was the problem during the 2+ month stretch where they were really struggling offensively. And it seemed like before the All-Star break, they'd kind of gotten over that hump. And then game 1 coming out of the All-Star break, it's the problems that were arising in June and May.
Yeah, because it was concerning where you said to yourself, I mean, right, you're looking at a Cubs team where maybe they didn't find success the way most would have liked in the very beginning. But as you mentioned, prior to the All-Star game, they find some sort of rhythm. But then when you look at it on a macro level, you say to yourself, okay, I've gotten good, I've gotten bad. So then which one is the real Cubs team, right? Because they're going to regress to one or the other. And that you're hopeful that obviously it is a team that can build on some success. But, you know, it's difficult, and that's where the frustration comes from. Right, you see Christopher Morel, like you mentioned, on the 2-2 count. I mean, you just hit the sack fly. You feel like you're going to be able to continue the ball rolling. You feel like you're a guy that pressure is on you to contribute. And so I can see that it's frustrating, but the same thing happens to Ian Happ, right, with the 2-2 pitch and the being called incorrectly. What did you feel about that one?
I mean, yeah, it was similar. Dansby had one. I believe he ended up with the single, the little infield single that scored it past the shortstop, right up the middle. The first pitch was it looked like it was going to hit him, and it stayed inside. Like, it never was in the zone, and it was called a strike. So, like, I totally get that frustration. Like, it as a player, like, you're trying to keep the momentum going. You're trying to get the good vibes going, like you mentioned, and you're trying to keep that going. And then things that you can't control go against you. Like, it's frustrating and it's maddening, and I totally get it. And I had this conversation with a friend. Like, I think this team is better than what their record is. And we saw what they were last year offensively, but at some point, like, you are what your record is. Right. And they're getting to the point where it's like, I think they're better, but they're not showing that they're better on the field.
Yeah. It was funny. I did the morning show earlier this week with Mully, and I was talking about the Pythagorean wind theorem. I was going nerding out about that. My degree's in economics. I love numbers, Andy. And so, you know, right, runs scored squared over runs scored squared plus runs allowed squared, just the whole balancing out of that. And the Cubs, just even with the Pythagorean.
Like 1 or 2 games difference. And then, like, last year, at this point last year, I mean, I remember they were really struggling. I think they were, like, even after the All-Star break, they were still, like, 7 games under 500 at one point. But their expected win loss was significantly better. So it's like, you knew, like, this team is underperforming. Like, they should be better. But, like, they kind of, they're just performing to what they are right now. And, like, it's so weird because, like, Christopher Morel's Baseball Savant page, where you see his exit velo and his bat speed and all of, like, the really nerdy stuff. Like, this guy should be doing really, really well, except he's really, really struggling right now. And they, like, then something like today happens, and it's like, well, you know, when's the luck going to turn for him? And he's the kind of guy where, like, if the Cubs offense is going to get rolling, it's someone like him that's going to start, you know, hitting the ball into the bleachers, hitting the ball into wave them, like, things like that. Like, that's what's going to kind of turn this thing around for them. And just right now, it's like, even when the momentum starts to feel good, like, the All-Star break comes, and, like, yes, like, you can say, like, oh, like, it came at a bad time, but everyone has this All-Star break. Like, you know it's coming. You know it's going to be these 4 days in July. You can't make that excuse. And so it's just like, how do you turn the corner? And you get some crummy luck right out of the chute.
Yeah, and it is crummy luck. And I think that what it all comes back to for me is, you know, the placed expectations on said players, right? Where you do want Christopher Morel to be the guy, even a guy like Justin Steele, where it's like, hey, please, be our super ace. Like, you know, you can't have any bad games. Like, not, you know, today, I mean, obviously, I think it was like 7 quality starts in a row or something like that. And, you know, you get a game like today, but they happen. These things happen. And with the Cubs, you know, Morrell's going to have, you know, maybe not the best day with runners in scoring position. The umps are going to make bad calls. But, and then that's where you look at the team and you say, well, that's where there's a deficiency. That's where, you know, really good teams can withstand all of that. A bad rotation start by an ace or a number two, you know, off days by particular players where other people need to step up. And you saw it in moments last year, right? Andy, we were talking a lot about that, where the front office was doing a phenomenal job of putting Band-Aids on things, and it was actually working. But then ultimately, at the very end, all the water ended up just spilling out. But again, it's like, it's tough when you're expecting every single thing to hit at the exact same moment in order to get victories consistently in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I mean, there was a stretch where, like, everything was going wrong for them, right? Like the bullpen wasn't doing well, the offense wasn't doing well. So, like, if the Cubs were up, like, 2-1 or 3-2 or 3-1, like, it's like, well, the bullpen came, like, was shaky. And because there were so many injuries to all these guys, that there was people being thrusted into positions that they probably weren't used to, that you're losing games in those situations. Like, it was, like, compounding. And now, like, again, their offense gets going, and Cody Bellinger gets the fractured finger and goes on the IL. It's like stop and go and stop and go. And a lot of times it feels like the stops are like things you can't control. It's like, well, Cody Bellinger just got hit by a fastball in his hand that he was trying to get out of the way of, like, that. It's not like he, you know, was trying to let out a double and pull the hammy or something. Like, no, it's like a pitch ran in on him and hit him. Or when he fractured his rib, he ran into the wall trying to make an out. It's like little things like that it's like, well, you can't tell Cody Bellinger to, like, not go after a ball against the wall. Like, it's just like bad luck after bad luck. And it's you were mentioning Steele, and it's so interesting. I was seeing his numbers after the game. He's really, really good this year. Like, he had a couple of shaky moments right when he came off the IL, but he's been kind of the same Justin Steele. And maybe today aside, he's been the same Justin Steele as he was really last year when he was in the Cy Young contention up until probably September. The Cubs are 5-10 in his starts. Like, that's just not good enough, right? Dirty. Like, you need to be winning those games where the ace on the mound. It's kind of crazy to me right now, because they have, like, three starters where David Ross used to call them win days, right? Like, when Justin Steele would come out, it was a win day. Like, you felt good that you were going to win because he was going to give you a chance. They have, like, three of those guys right now. Like, Steele is one of those. Jameson Taillon has been really, really good this season. Yep. After starting on the IL, and Shota Minaga, we know how good he's been. Like, they have three guys every single, like, three times out of the rotation where it's like, you feel really good about their chances of winning. And it's just like, it's whether it's the offense struggling or the bullpen struggling or injuries, like, it hasn't been able to get going. And I just didn't picture the offense struggling as much as they have, but I also didn't see the starting pitching being as good as they are. Like, they're a top 10 rotation in baseball. It's really remarkable.
We're talking to Andy Martinez here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez, hanging out with you guys till 9 o'clock. Cubs fall to the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-2. But fortunately, more baseball to be played. Tomorrow night, the Cubs and Diamondbacks continue the series from Wrigley Field. The Score will have the only local broadcast of the game. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:40. First pitch at 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Andy, you know, you mentioned the frustration of the Cubs, right, where it's something, right? You can't point to a particular, you know, thing on a particular game, because it could be anything. It could be the bullpen. It could be a spot start by Steele. It could be the offense not necessarily having the productivity that they have. But there's still room. It's still within reach, everything that the Cubs want, right? So when you look at it, when you look at this team up against the best in the NL, are you truly confident that, you know, they can leapfrog the teams that are in front of them to secure one of those spots?
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I just don't know. Like, is it the team that showed up against the Orioles, who were the best team in the AL, and they played them, and the Orioles looked like they had no business playing with the Cubs? Or is it, you know, the team that kind of struggled today against the Diamondbacks? I think it's clearly some team in the middle there, and, like, The National League is so, like, outside of the top teams at the very top of the league, it's very, like, it's just, like, slightly above average, for lack of a better term, right? There's 12 teams all within either in a playoff spot or within 3.5 games after the All-Star break of a playoff spot. Like, there's a lot of parity, and like, some teams I think will come down, some teams will go up. I don't really know where the Cubs really fit. Like, I do think they have the talent and they're good enough, and the team clearly believes, like, the players clearly believe that they're better than what their record is. But again, like I kind of said at the beginning, and like you've kind of talked about, like, at some point you just got to like go out and do it. Like, you are what your record is at some point. Like, you can think you're better, or you can think on like what the team was last year and how many guys got brought back and who was added to the mix. But at the end of the day, like, at some point you are what your record is, and it doesn't matter like whether your Pythagorean win theorem is 5 games better or your expected batting average is 50 points better. Like, at some point the results are what the results are, unfortunately for the Cubs.
And that'll never be different. And clearly, with the trade deadline approaching, you know, I often say you got to throw a couple names, actual names out there. And I know we're one of the best when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, obviously Vlad Jr., you know, would be on a wish list for many of Cubs fans. Pete Alonso says he wants to stay there. But there are some other people out there, right? Like Josh Bell with the Marlins. If you're looking for bullpen help, maybe like Logan Allen with the Diamondbacks. I know you love this team, Andy. So when you look at the landscape of baseball right now and maybe some players that are out to be had, what do you think that looks like for the Cubs and maybe some wish list pieces for you?
Yeah, I just don't know, just because it's weird to say, but like, I think it's still too early, right? Like, if they win their next 5 games in a row, right, and go up to 500, and maybe they're like a game back of the playoffs, and their playoff percent or playoff odds on FanGraphs or Prospectus or all these other sites that have those are like, if it's like 40 or 50%, then maybe you are thinking about buying like on the higher end or trying to splurge on a bigger bat. But if you're like at like 15 to 20%, like, are you really gonna want to risk this farm system that is really really one of the top in the game and add a rental piece for a team that like maybe your odds improve by acquiring a player by like 5%. I don't know if that's the right course of action or the course of action that the front office would take. So it's kind of hard to like say like, oh, like they should go get this guy, because you just don't know where they're going to be in like 10 days. And like we saw last year, things can change very, very quickly, right? Like last year it was kind of, even I remember driving to St. Louis and the question was like, well, are they going to buy or they're going to sell? What's this team going to do at the trade deadline in like 4 or 5 days? And then Mike Tauchman has that walk-off catch, as it was known, right, where he robs a home run, what would have been the walk-off home run for the final out against the Cardinals. And I think they won 3 of 4 against the Cardinals, put themselves back in the picture, and it was kind of clear, like, this team is not selling, right? And Jed Hoyer even mentioned after the deadline, where after Tauchman's catch, it was, you know, they knew they were buyers in that moment. A lot can change, right? And does that mean, like, if they go on a winning streak or if they go on a little run here, that maybe you start looking at the higher end? Maybe. So the long roundabout answer is I don't really have a good answer for you, just because I don't know what the next few days are. And right now I would think if they're going to make additions, it's going to be maybe on the smaller end, maybe like a reliever that maybe is under control for another season or two that can help you not only this year, but, you know, years beyond. So,
and it's interesting.
That's kind of my roundabout answer.
No, I like it, because it leads me to my last question. And there are 13 days left before that trade deadline. But, you know, you talk about potentially bringing in a reliever that's under control that can help your team in next season or the season after that. And the question is, does it seem like in your eyes, Andy, that the Cubs brass is maybe embracing like the future window of the Chicago Cubs as opposed to the current one? Because they think maybe the future one with the assets that you mentioned earlier in the minors, with people that you could still potentially bring in, that window looks shinier, bigger, and therefore the sense of urgency isn't there in the same way because of that. Do you get that at all when you're covering the Cubs?
No, I don't. I get what you're saying, but I don't get that, just because, like, I mean, we know how baseball playoffs are and how crazy they can be. The Diamondbacks got in the last spot and they made it to the World Series. Like, I think if they know they have a chance to get to the playoffs, they're going to try and exhaust every option to try and improve those odds, right? Like, they're gonna try and do that, just because, I mean, if you get in the playoffs, like, who's to say that Jameson Taillon and Shota Imanaga and Justin Siar are pitching as well as they are, and they can, you know, three good stars like that can carry you, or like, if your bullpen gets back healthy by then, you have like Merriweather and Leiter and like, et cetera, et cetera. Like, yeah, theoretically, like you could see how all these things could work out. Like, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but like, that's why I think like I don't see them saying like, all right, like let's just necessarily punt on this season and focus on 2025, 2026, because I think if they're still within shot, I think they're going to try and make the playoffs this year. Like it would be foolish not to, especially when they're like, I mean, they're four games back right now. That's a winning streak away from being really right in the mix.
And that's exactly where the Cubs want to be, as well as their fan base. Andy, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate you jumping on with us. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Andy Martinez, ladies and gentlemen, one of the brightest minds that covers the Cubs. I'll tell you that. We didn't get a chance to do a deep dive into his knowledge of the minor leagues, which is crazy, by the way. Whenever I have real questions about the minor leagues, I don't go Google it. I just text Andy. He always hits me up. Make sure you guys follow him. All right. Selfishly, I want to talk a little bit about the Chicago Bulls. Why? Because I'm selfish. Because it's Friday at 8:20, and I talked about the Cubs, talked about the Bears, and I want to talk about a little bit of the Bulls in the NBA. We get to talk to Trevor Lane next. Does he think that Matis Buzelis is going to be a difference maker for the Chicago Bulls, or is the summer league success just hype? We ask Trevor Lane when we come back.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on The Score.
Zach is fully cleared to do everything, and Patrick is still on his way to recovery, but they should be ready this summer. So
you expect Patrick to be ready for anything?
I think so. We gotta look at his schedule, but I think he was planning to be ready for training camp, yeah.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That was Arturis Carnicivus talking about Zach and updates of everything. He sounded down, bro. He sounded like, you know when you get in trouble in school? Maybe you don't. I did a lot. And you had to come home with like the suspension letter or like a note or something to give to your parents or the test that you
mom,
took.
Can you sign this?
Hey, mom, Zach LaVine's doing all right. And Patrick Williams' recovery is... it's going well. Can you sign this for me? That's what he sounded like right there. It was great. Well, we get to talk a little bit about the Bulls, a little bit about Summer League, and just the NBA as a whole. What my next guest, always enjoy talking hoops with him. He's the host of Lakers Nation and the Front Office Show, and he's joining us right now on the Circa Resort Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Of course, we're talking about none other than my guy, Trevor Lane. Trevor, what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Of course, of course. Is Zach LaVine going to be a Laker in a couple of months or what?
I don't think so. I think right now it's hard to find a team for him to land with at this point, but it's the contract, man. I mean, he's a good player. He's a talented player, but it's finding a slot for that contract that's going to be tough for the Bulls.
It almost seems as though there's not enough bottom-feeding teams in the NBA that need the fan base to be satisfied, because that's the team that you would typically send a guy like Zach LaVine to, right? Like maybe like a Philly if they're bad, like going through a bad rut, and then you throw Zach LaVine in there, you know, if they don't have Joel Embiid and guys like that, and then you throw Zach there to kind of take him over. But it's with the playing situation, there's not as many teams at the bottom, but you hear rumors, right? You hear Sacramento, you hear other teams getting involved. I even heard a situation with Philadelphia last week. People have just been throwing tons of things around. When you look at this Bulls roster, obviously it's without DeMar DeRozan now. I mean, you heard AK say, hey, Zach's supposed to be in training camp. We expect him to be here. What is that going to look like if Zach LaVine does have to come back and play for this Bulls team, in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a matter of getting him out on the floor and then having him prove that he's healthy. That's the biggest thing. It's reminding teams of how good he is because we haven't seen him play in so long. And so he's got to be able to prove that he's healthy, that he's able to go, and that he can help some team make that next step forward, that leap. You look at the arms race in the Western Conference, how difficult things are there. If a team is right there on the cusp and they're one piece away, the Bulls need to be able to say, hey, here's Zach LaVine. Look at what he's done for us this season. He can do that for you. Let's make a deal. And so I think it's a matter of, more so than anything else, it's proving that he's healthy, getting him on the court, and reminding teams of how good he actually is as a player and why teams should take that gamble in taking on his contract.
Yeah, I mean, he has to play better. It's the best thing that he could do for himself, right? If he is to start training camp with the Bulls and he is to begin the season with the squad, it is in his best interest, if he wants to leave, to play, like you mentioned, be healthy, and perform at a high level so that he could become more attractive to more suitors that will be willing to take that on. We're talking to Trevor Lane here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. When you look at the East, we'll go to the West in a second, but when you look at the East, do you anticipate a championship hangover for a team that was a darling so often and finally found their way to the trophy?
Yeah, I do expect something of a championship hangover for the Celtics. Now, part of that is going to be the Olympics. You've got a number of Celtics that are playing with Team USA. Derek White getting the nod over Jaylen Brown for the time being. But then you also have Jason Tatum out there. You've got Drew Holiday. I think that's going to create a situation where the Celtics are going to come in with some heavy legs. I mean, they already play all the way through to the NBA Finals, and then when a lot of players are resting, you're going to be off playing. Your three of your top guys are going to be off playing in the Olympics. So I do think that they may wind up getting off to a slow start. I still think they're going to be the class of the Eastern Conference, but we've also seen some teams like the Philadelphia 76ers, the New York Knicks, make some moves to try to close that gap and catch up here. So I think it's going to be a fascinating race in the East this year, but I do think Boston, while I'm not expecting they're going to go off to a slow start, I don't think they're going to just roll through the conference like they did last season.
I mean, what did you think about the offseason in the NBA? You've seen some pieces move. Some teams get a bit stronger. You see Milwaukee, you know, still trying to figure what they're doing over there. Any moves from the offseason that surprised you so far, Trevor?
I mean, I think it's more the moves that really haven't been made at this point and how many moves are kind of still sitting out there. We're still hearing names like Kyle Kuzma and Lauri Markkanen, Jeremy Grant. You've got all the guys for the Nets. There's a lot. I mean, Zach LaVine being another one, Nikola Vucevic. There's a number of guys that just didn't move, and I think there's a lot of it has to do with the new collective bargaining agreement. Teams are a little bit hesitant to take back any kind of long-term salary as we get adjusted to the new realities of the tier-based cap system now in the NBA. So that's going to be something that that I think teams are going to adjust to as the summer goes on and as we get into the season. So I was a little bit surprised by the lack of moves overall. In terms of moves that surprised me this year, I was surprised by how well teams like the Warriors and the Clippers were able to do bouncing back from losing guys like Klay Thompson and Paul George, which is a big part of the new collective bargaining agreement. It was forcing teams to give up Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as well with the Denver Nuggets. But the way the Warriors were able to bounce back, the pieces that they landed, getting DeAnthony Melton, getting Buddy Hield, I think that they did a really nice job rebounding from what was supposed to be a pretty punishing system specifically for their franchise.
Yeah, and it is going to be that way for some time. Trevor, let's go over to the Western Conference, talk about your team, the Lakers. And first, I'm curious obviously you watch the Summer League because you cover the NBA, but how is that exciting for you, like Summer League just as a whole, before we get into the specifics of it?
Yeah, I mean, Summer League is exciting because you get a first glimpse at some young players as they're really starting to just get their feet wet in the NBA. It's not pretty. It's not always pretty basketball in Summer League. It gets pretty sloppy, but it can be a lot of fun watching Summer League ball. It's an interesting contrast this year because we've got Team USA, which is like the best players, you know, in the NBA, the best American players in the league. They're all in one team. We're seeing them play. And then you're turning around and watching a Summer League game, and it's a big difference in terms of overall quality of play. But I do enjoy Summer League. I like seeing some of the young guys get out there and get their first NBA experience. That's always a lot of fun. And so far, it's been a pretty fun Summer League overall.
Yeah, and of course, all eyes have been on Bronny James. And you see what the big like divide now is, the why are we judging the 55th pick in the draft so harshly? When it comes to your assessment and just reporting on Bronny James, what lens are you doing it through, Trevor?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's the kid that needs to be given some grace, give him some time. I think there's been all this attention on him, and part of that is just timing. There is no Zion in this draft. There's no Wembanyama. There's no marquee star in this draft class. If he was in next year's draft class, if he had stayed in school another year, we'd all be talking about Cooper Flagg. There's just not that marquee guy in this draft class to talk about. And so part of that has just magnified that spotlight on Bronny. Now, the other part of it is his name is LeBron James. So given who his dad is, that's going to increase that spotlight. But the reality is he's the 55th pick. I've been looking at him, at least for the way I've seen him. It's been from the moment I first saw the kid, I thought, he's not NBA ready. If anybody is hyping him up and expecting him to step on an NBA floor immediately and contribute, you're setting expectations way too high. This kid's going to have to spend time in the G League. He's going to need to be with the South Bay Lakers. He's going to have to develop. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's totally fine to take that developmental path, but the spotlight that is on Bronny, people are freaking out if he only scores 3 points in a game or celebrating if he scores 13. To me, I mean, just let's give the kid some breathing room. Give him some time to grow, to develop. Let's not get too crazy with the expectations on him and understand that a lot of guys drafted where he got drafted don't pan out. So I hope it does work out for him, but I'm not expecting to see him play with the Lakers a bunch this season or anything like that. I think he's got plenty of growing and developing to do before we see him fully on an NBA floor.
Trevor, it's a great point that, you know, you just got to give him time to develop. You know, you got to give him the opportunity. You got to give him the space. And, you know, granted, he has the name, so people are a little bit, you know, obviously following on what's happening to him. But, I mean, he's the 55th pick in the draft. But the best thing you said was there isn't the Zion in the draft, right, that people are then paying attention to. Alex Sarr, is it him or yeah, Alex Sarr is going 0-15 from the field. So you can't really talk too much about a guy that's dominating now. We could talk about Matas Buzelis if you want to, and you know, your thoughts on him. But before we get to the Bulls, because I do want to transition to that in a second, I want to stay with the Lakers and their summer league team, Dalton Connect. I mean, you know, if you watched him last year at the University of Tennessee, I mean, he was a guy that they had no problem giving him the ball, allowing him to operate, you know, shoot at a high rate. How happy were you that he made or he got to the Lakers and expectations for him as a role player on the team?
Oh, I mean, I was shocked that he was still there at 17. Right. You know, a lot of the big mock drafts out there had him going at like sixth overall, which was fantastic. That they fell all the way to the Lakers and they took him. Last year it was Cam Whitmore that fell and the Lakers didn't take him. They passed on him. Then he became the Summer League MVP. But Dalton Connect has looked great. I've really liked what we've seen out of him. His shooting has improved once he's got to Las Vegas, and it looks like he's getting more and more comfortable. I know from talking to people within the Lakers, they couldn't believe it. They were holding their breath when Philly's pick was up, thinking that Philly was going to take him, and they were shocked when he fell into their lap at 17. So they're very, very excited to have him on this roster. I think he projects to be a three-level scorer, and I'm excited to see what he can do. Plenty to still work on with him. But he seems over the last few games that he has started to get his legs under him in summer league, started to figure some things out, and now he's averaging over 21 points per game since coming to Las Vegas. So excited to see more from him.
Why do you think Matas Buzelis dropped all the way to 11?
You know, I think the teams just kind of got set on who it was that they wanted to take, and some of it because this draft was so flat in terms of quality overall across the board. You didn't have, again, those top guys that some teams started drafting based on need. And so, for example, like the Grizzlies, they really needed a center. And so Zach Edey was there at nine, and so they wound up taking him rather than go with necessarily the best player available. Now, I'm not saying they didn't think Zach Edey was the best player available, but the general sense was that there was a wide range of players that could go anywhere in and just outside of the lottery because it was seen as more of a flattened class. So somebody was going to fall. In fact, a number of players were going to fall. And in this case, Buzelis was the guy who wound up dropping to the Bulls. And you know, I think they got a good one, given what we've seen from him so far in summer league. He's looked, you know, pretty comfortable, and he's also already dropped 28 points in a game. So I think Bulls fans should be excited about what they got in Buzelis.
Yeah, and I dropped a couple hammers on a couple of guys in the summer league too, which is always good to have those highlights heading into the season. Trevor, before I let you go, obviously you're hearing about Russell Westbrook ending up on the Denver Nuggets. When you're looking at that Western Conference next season, right? Anthony Edwards coming into his own. The Minnesota Timberwolves feeling confident about what they're building over there. As you mentioned, the Memphis Grizzlies having Ja for the entire season. The Western Conference is going to be a gauntlet. When you look at it, obviously you're going to be looking up because the Lakers ain't going to be a part of it. But, what do you see? Who do you see coming out of the West? And how do you see that thing shaping up at the end?
Well, I do look at the Western Conference right now based on what the Oklahoma City Thunder did this summer. I think they added two really key pieces in Alex Caruso and then, of course, in Isaiah Hartenstein. I think they're going to be the team to beat in the West. I know they were the one seed last year in the Western Conference, but there were, you know, some teams that were higher up in terms of in power ranking status for the playoffs. You know, you look at the Denver Nuggets, of course, they were up there. Minnesota was up there. A lot of people were really high on some other teams and not OKC. I think this is the year OKC makes the leap. And I think they're going to be really, really good. They filled the issues that they had last season. They solved them with the moves that they've made. And this is going to be a very difficult team to deal with. You know, there's the challenge with the West is it's so flat. You've got so many teams that are all right about the same quality. I mean, the Lakers are a team that feel like, hey, if their playoff path had been a little bit different, they could have made some kind of a run. The Sacramento Kings adding DeRozan, they've got more firepower to make a run now. You've got a lot of really, really good teams. There's going to be high-caliber playoff-level teams that don't even make the play-in in the West. That's how deep this conference is. And I still think OKC is going to stand alone at the top of the Western Conference this coming year. I've been blown away by them and what they've done. I think they make the leap this next year.
It's interesting that you say that because all things point in that direction. If you can get Chet Holmgren healthy for the entire season, playing at a high level, if you can get Shea to, you know, put that chip on his shoulder from last year's playoff woes, again, with the additions, that is a team certainly you're going to have to keep an eye out for. Trevor, I appreciate your time as always. Love talking hoops with you, brother.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course, Trevor Lane. Follow him on Twitter, Trevor_Lane. Get you all the updates. One of the best guys that are out there. But it's the Bulls, man. I mean, you got to have somebody exciting to get you out there. Little Zachy Poo. Like, but the thing is this. Modest and Zach is going to be just like Lauri Markkanen and Zach. The difference is that it was Lori's team before it was Zach's team. So Lori felt like, hey, I'm coming into my own. Why do I have to defer to Zach LaVine? Kind of how Zach felt about DeMar DeRozan. But that's not going to be the case with Modest because he's a rookie coming in and he understands Zach's going to take all the shots and that's just going to be what it is.
So Modest, Zach, and Josh Giddey.
Better watch out. You better not cry. All right. We got one last segment before we get up out of here. I told you I want to go to a steakhouse. I'm going to one tonight for sure. Wifey's sleeping with the kids. My guy's picking me up. I have one in mind. I want to go somewhere I've never gone before. If you're near your Twitter fingers or your text fingers are nearby, throw in some random. I don't want the Bavettes. I don't want Swift & Sons. I don't want the Gibsons. I don't want the RPM Steaks. I want the second tier of those things. I want to go somewhere there. Shoot me some suggestions. 312-644-6767. We'll discuss that. We'll see our goodbyes. I'll tell you where I'm going to be at tomorrow. We'll do that on the other side. It's 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Shout out to all my old school heads right now that even know this song or have danced to it at one point or another. I was just looking at something on Facebook that said, like, if you're an old head, like a real old head, older head, I should say, and you're from Chicago and you went to Nitro at some point, Alex Kuhn, you know nothing about Nitro Nightclub. But
you are correct. Tell me about it, though.
They just said that there's a reunion happening September 1st, something like that, the Piazza, tickets, something, and they were showing pictures of Nitro. So Nitro was a place that, I mean, they had like it was like a popping Thursday night spot and a popping Sunday night spot. But it was unlike anything else because it held like 2,000 people, 2,500 people. And it was a nightclub that everybody went to. And they would have, you know, old school things, you know, before cell phones, they used to have booty contests, you know, where you just, and guys and girls. So, you know, anyway, I was just looking at that right there. It's Friday night, man. Times are a lot different. Alex Kuhn, 8:45 on a Friday, 10 years ago, looked a lot different. Tell you that right now, my two daughters, my four-year-old, my two-year-old are sound. No, they're probably like on their way to sleep right now. My wife's there, but I told her I did Stadium Clubhouse today. Then I did the rally, and then I took a bus over here. I took a bus to work today because I was gonna take an Uber, but I was like, show's pretty buttoned up. I could just prep on the bus. And it cost me $2. So I did it. I was right there on Madison. I was like, no problem. Bus drops you off right in front. And so my boy's picking me up today because I feel like I deserve it. I've had a long week. So we're going to go get steak. And, you know, like, the thing is this. Restaurants in Chicago, like Asador Bastion, like one of the better steakhouses, you can't get a reservation there. You can't just call on a Friday or a Thursday and get a reservation there. Bavette's not happening. Swift & Sons, maybe.
Yeah, you got to do weeks, month, or exactly. Maybe a month in advance.
So the ones that are available are the ones that you already know are just meh. So like Prime and Provisions has seatings open at 9:30. Great steakhouse right there on Wacker. But you're like, do I want to go there? So I stumbled on a place. I went to ChatGPT, of course, the smartest person that I know. And I asked him, what steakhouse I should go to. And there's a place called Hola, H-O-L-A. That's not how you say it. That's Hola. Hula? Holu? Holu. There we go. Holu. Hola. What a pendejo. Holu is an Asian steakhouse in Chinatown. So I'm trying to do something different. I'm trying to go somewhere different. I put on this, and then my boy said that, but you got, it's kind of like a Korean barbecue spot where you kind of got to cook it. But because it's so high end, the servers will cook it for you. Yes, I would like that.
Wait, so they bring it to your table and cook it to you, cook it for you at the table?
It's like, have you ever been to a Korean barbecue spot where you get the little meat?
So yeah, you do it yourself. Like that. You just toss it on the little grill.
So I'm assuming they have the grill in front of you, but because it's high end, the servers offer to do it for you. And I will take you up on that offer, my friend.
Yeah, of course.
So
they're going to do it better than I would.
It was either that. I didn't want to go to Boulevard because I figured the West Loop would be too busy right now, and I want to be able to park, even though I'm not driving. So I was going to go to Boulevard, but then I said no. And then I was like, you know what? What am I? Even though you want to go somewhere new, why not just go classic? Go to Joe's, get the fried chicken as an appetizer. That's the pro tip right there. If you go to Joe's, especially with friends, you get the fried chicken dinner as the appetizer because the fried chicken is very good over there. But then I just did hard pass, and so now I'm going here. I don't know. Whatever. Give me my theme music. I'm complaining about going to a steakhouse. I don't know why. But the show goes on. Mañana, 3 p.m., you can catch me on, I think we're going to be on 670 Score, The Better Angle on the BetQL Network. I'm one of the new hosts. So it'll be myself, Kate Constable. Every Saturday, you can catch me on there giving you gambling tips. I want to thank my guests for today, Trevor Lane. I want to thank Andy Martinez. I want to thank Rudy Polinski. I also want to thank the phenomenal double duty producer, Alex Kuhn. That's so great. Oh, dude, this is gold right here. Shout out to my guy, Promo Joe is what I call him, because he works for all the teams, Bears, Bulls, Chicago Fire. He texted me, said he thought you did a great job when we did it real time. So shout out to my guy, Joe. What else do I want to say? Follow me, Chicago_Gabe. And I will follow you back. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. I'll follow you back while I'm walking out. All right. Mi gente. That, in fact, means my people. Hasta la próxima. That, in fact, means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
70thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Shout out to all my old school heads right now that even know this song or have danced to it at one point or another. I was just looking at something on Facebook that said, like, if you're an old head, like a real old head, older head, I should say, and you're from Chicago and you went to Nitro at some point, Alex Kuhn, you know nothing about Nitro Nightclub. But
you are correct. Tell me about it, though.
They just said that there's a reunion happening September 1st, something like that, the Piazza, tickets, something, and they were showing pictures of Nitro. So Nitro was a place that, I mean, they had like it was like a popping Thursday night spot and a popping Sunday night spot. But it was unlike anything else because it held like 2,000 people, 2,500 people. And it was a nightclub that everybody went to. And they would have, you know, old school things, you know, before cell phones, they used to have booty contests, you know, where you just, the guys and girls. So, you know, anyway. I was just looking at that right there. It's Friday night, man. Times are a lot different, Alex Kuhn. 8:45 on a Friday 10 years ago looked a lot different. I'll tell you that. Right now, my two daughters, my four-year-old, my two-year-old, they're probably like on their way to sleep right now. My wife's there. But I told her, I did Stadium Clubhouse today. Then I did the rally. And then I took a bus over here. I took a bus to work today. Because I was going to take an Uber, but I was like, show's pretty buttoned up. I could just prep on the bus, and it cost me $2. So I did it. I was right there on Madison. I was like, no problem. Bus drops you off right in front. And so my boy's picking me up today because I feel like I deserve it. I've had a long week. So we're going to go get steak. And, you know, like, the thing is this. Restaurants in Chicago, like Asador Bastion, like one of the better steakhouses, you can't get a reservation there. You can't just call on a Friday or a Thursday and get a reservation there. Bavette's not happening. Swift and Sons, maybe.
Yeah, you got to do weeks, month, or exactly. Maybe a month in advance.
So the ones that are available are the ones that you already know are just meh. So like Prime and Provisions has seatings open at 9:30. Great steakhouse right there on Wacker. But you're like, do I want to go there? So I stumbled on a place. I went to ChatGPT, of course, the smartest person that I know. And I asked him, what steakhouse I have to go to, and there's a place called Hola, H-O-L-A. That's not how you say it. That's Hola. Hula? Holu?
Holu.
There we go. Holu. Hola. What a pendejo. Holu is an Asian steakhouse in Chinatown. So I'm trying to do something different. I'm trying to go somewhere different. I put on this. And then my boy said that, but you got, it's kind of like a Korean barbecue spot where you kind of got to cook it. But because it's so high end, the servers will cook it for you. Yes, I would like that.
Wait, so they bring it to your table and cook it to you, cook it for you at the table?
It's like, have you ever been to a Korean barbecue spot where you get the little meat?
So yeah, you do it yourself. Like that. You just toss it on the little grill.
So I'm assuming they have the grill in front of you. But because it's high end, the servers offer to do it for you. And I will take you up on that offer, my friend.
Yeah, of course.
So
they're going to do it better than I would.
It was either that. I didn't want to go to Boulevard because I figured the West Loop would be too busy right now. And I want to be able to park, even though I'm not driving. So I was going to go to Boulevard, but then I said no. And then I was like, you know what? What am I? Even though you want to go somewhere new, why not just go classic? Go to Joe's. Get the fried chicken as an appetizer. That's the pro tip right there. If you go to Joe's, especially with friends, you get the fried chicken dinner as the appetizer because the fried chicken is very good over there. But then I just did a hard pass, and so now I'm going here. I don't know. Whatever. Give me my theme music. I'm complaining about going to a steakhouse. I don't know why. But the show goes on. Mañana, 3 p.m., you can catch me on, I think we're going to be on 670 Score, The Better Angle on the BetQL Network. I'm one of the new hosts. So it'll be myself, Kate Constable. Every Saturday, you can catch me on there giving you gambling tips. I want to thank my guests for today, Trevor Lane. I want to thank Andy Martinez. I want to thank Rudy Polinski. I also want to thank the phenomenal double duty producer, Alex Kuhn. That's so good. Dude, this is gold right here. Shout out to my guy, Promo Joe is what I call him, because he works for all the teams, Bears, Bulls, Chicago Fire. He texted me, said he thought you did a great job when we did it real time. So shout out to my guy, Joe. What else do I want to say? Follow me, Chicago_Gabe, and I will follow you back. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram. I'll follow you back while I'm walking out. All right. Mi gente, that in fact means my people. Hasta la próxima, that in fact means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
In life, some days are good. And some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.